Breaking news on 710 ESPN is powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Pull into Valvoline today and get 20% off of your service. Just mention ESPN. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for coupons and locations. Okay, Kirk, we got some breaking news. And this was a question mark around the Los Angeles Lakers, and we were all kind of waiting to see. And this might not be the only player that does it, but this directly affects the Los Angeles Lakers. Adrian Wojnarowski, the first one to tweet it out. Los Angeles Lakers guard Avery Bradley has opted out of playing in the NBA's Orlando restart of the season. Bradley told ESPN on Tuesday night. Woj goes on to say, at forefront of Bradley's decision to remain with his family is the well-being of the oldest of his three children. His six-year-old son has a history of struggling to recover from respiratory illnesses and would have been unlikely to be medically cleared to enter the bubble with his family. So the Lakers, while one of the favorites to obviously win an NBA championship, will have to do it in Orlando without Avery Bradley.
Yeah, and you're probably going to get a feeling of there's more to come, all right? There's more guys who are like Avery Bradley. We're starting to see over the last couple days whether I believe it was another player, an NBA player, who had a custody issue with one
Trevor
of his family,
Ariza.
Trevor Ariza. Mm-hmm. I've said this before. This is summertime. The NBA is done. The NBA is in hiatus, right? The NBA is supposed to be over with. We're supposed to be getting ready for what? Summer League, Alan. It's supposed to be Summer League. Guys are supposed to be going out and getting some workouts in and getting some shots up in Vegas, you know, where they put the teams together. Everybody's flying out. That's where the NBA timeline was supposed to be at currently. But now we're currently trying to put together the rest of the season, which a lot of people
don't want to see. You're trying to start back up again.
You're trying to start back up
again.
I want to see it. I do as a fan, right? And this is where I had to separate Kirk the fan and the analyst to Kirk if I was a player in that locker room. How would I feel? First of all, I've been with my family for the last 3 months, right? Since March. When was that game against?
March 11th.
There
like
it is.
That, yeah.
Yep. So since March 11th, I've been with my family, right? And I think a lot of guys, to me, more than probably have been led on, right? I think we listen to the bigger voices of the NBA, but there's a lot of little small voices who haven't had a chance to voice their opinion. But I believe a lot of guys have been at home with their families, and it's to a point, do I want to go back to basketball? Is this season really over for me? And should I just go ahead and get ready for a new season of 2020-2021? Right. I think there's a lot more guys who don't want to finish it out. Just because of the contract obligations for a lot of players, they're going to go to Orlando to fulfill their contract and receive the rest of their compensation. If I was one of those guys, yeah, I'll be in the bubble. But do I want to leave my family, my wife, my kids?
I would say in
a time, Alan, like I said, in a time where kids have already been out of school, but this is summer. This is the time that a lot of NBA players, this is all they have.
Sure.
And now the NBA and what they're doing, which is fine. Look, I get it. But they want to take this part of the year, which some guys, this is all they have with their families, and now go play basketball. And then guess what? We're going to restart again a couple months after this is all over.
You know,
I mean, a lot of guys aren't. A lot of guys aren't with that.
The whole thing, this all comes down to is what? Just comes down to the economics, right?
Economics, correct.
The reason why the NBA is trying to crown a champ, finish off the regular season as many games as they can, do a playoff. They're going to work this whole Orlando bubble. God knows how much the whole cost is to put this thing together. They're only doing it because from a financial perspective, from a business perspective, this is part of their job. It's Adam Silver's job. It's the Players Association job to try and see, can we still fulfill all these contracts that are out there, get paid from a TV perspective and everything else? I will tell you, you're not going to find a bigger Laker fan than me. I say that obviously just because how much I care for Lakers basketball. When I read this, that Lakers guard Avery Bradley has opted out for playing in the Orlando restart, a couple things come to my mind. Number one, I have really no issue if a player says, I'm not going to do it because of my family. I'm not going to do it because I don't feel it's safe. Like, how would I judge a player? And by the way, this is going to hurt the Lakers. I mean, you know, I could tell you firsthand that Avery Bradley is a starter on this team. Now, is Avery Bradley Anthony Davis? Of course he's not. Is he LBJ? Of course he's not. So, of course he's not one of the main players. But Avery Bradley is a fantastic defender for the Los Angeles Lakers. He's right. going to give you 20-plus minutes a game. So this isn't a small loss for the Lakers. But what am I supposed to say, Kirk? I mean, here's somebody that, I mean, if you read Woj's tweet, his 6-year-old son has a history of struggling to recover from respiratory illnesses and would have been unlikely to be medically cleared to enter the bubble with his family. So what does that mean for Avery Bradley and the Lakers playing to potentially October 12th? That means he wouldn't get to see his 6-year-old son from, you know, whatever time the Lakers land in Orlando, correct, which was going to be sometime in June, to all the way in October, because the Lakers are supposed to make it to the finals. I got no issue at all with Avery Bradley saying, I'm just not going to be a part of this.
Yeah, it's a tough one. And that's where a lot of guys are now being looked at is, and I've had this conversation with my wife before, Alan. I've had it before. Do you, the conversation we have is, do you need football or do you like football, right? Is it a want or is it a need? That's what it was. Do you want to play or do you need to play? That was the question. That's let me make sure I clarify that. I just finished up my 8th year in the National Football League, but my 8th year was very rocky, right? It was rocky about how it started, the way that it ended, a coaching change, just a lot to me where I would have to be proving myself all over again. Year 9, I was a free agent, didn't know where I was going to go. And so it was a question that me and my wife had to have. We were recently married. We were a year into our marriage. I was living in Los Angeles. I really wanted to put my feet in the ground, wanted to start my next career. And we had that conversation. You know, is football something that you want or is it something that you need to do? Well, I didn't need to play football. I wanted to start another career. I did well for myself when I played and I wanted to start the next career. And so I didn't necessarily need football, but I wanted football. And because it's just a want, right? Well, I think we all want things, man. I want to get on a private jet and go fly to the Bahamas right now. That's a want.
Yeah, but you can do that. You can do that.
No, don't do this.
I don't want to do that.
But did I need to do that? No, it wasn't a need. Did I want to? Sure. I would love to want to go do it. But we had those conversations. And I think that's what some players are having now is, do you want to play? And guys are saying, yeah, I want to play. I love basketball. I want to play. But do you need to go to Orlando? Do you need to be away from your family for 3 months? And now we're talking about health issues, right? Now we're talking about family. We're talking about kids and wives and
in the middle of a pandemic. Throw that in the mix.
And grandmas grandmas and grandfathers and, you know what I mean? And moms and dads. There's a lot now that we aren't really truly understanding. I think a lot of us see, hey, NBA starts end of July. There'll be games played. The players will show up. Yeah. But if you noticed, just notice, Alan, I want you to take a real good notice of the guys who are available during this transaction period. It ain't been no young dudes. Been a lot of older guys, older established veterans. Kids are a little bit older, you know, playing because they want to. They don't need to, but hey, I want to. I'll do it. I'll be ready to go. A little different than maybe the younger player who's still trying to establish himself or just the second or third year in the league or a guy formerly of a G League or something like that, right? Like Alex Caruso, brother, you better stay in. You better not tell nobody you opting out. You stay in. You get what I mean? It's sure. Different tiers of players that have to make that decision. But as the timeline starts to come, I said there's still a lot of time. I'm going to keep pressing that. There's a lot that can change from now until the beginning of when the NBA is set to restart.
By the way, this is also the same conversation with Major League Baseball, with football, so we'll see how those play out. Just to give everybody an idea, So Avery Bradley, who got into the league 2010-2011 with the Boston Celtics, has made around $50 million in his career. So, you know, that's also probably one of those things where it's like, okay, well, it's not coming down from a financial perspective. Family is first, so I get it. No argument there. We could hit on this in a little bit as well. We do have to go to break. Appreciate everybody that's tuned in. We got halftime coming up next. Alan Sliwa, Kirk Morrison. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. Kirk, what do you think of this beat?
I like it. It's cool. It's like a little simple beat.
Just kind of keep it's it like, in the background.
Yeah. Don't. It's not necessarily elevator music. Mm-hmm.
But it gets you. It gets your head bumping.
It's like a highlights, maybe like a. It's not even a vignette music. Yeah. You got to help me out here, man.
LeBron 23 points tonight. Is it kind of like Sports Center music?
Yeah. Something a little bit like that.
So, by the way, Kirk, did you get a chance to see that tribute for Snoop Dogg? Did that tribute in the ESPYs for Kobe? Did you get a chance to see that?
I've seen a piece of it. I gotta watch the whole thing.
Okay,
so I haven't seen the full quality yet.
I'll send it to you when you get a second. Please watch it, because yesterday Jesse and I, we were doing this. We were kind of just talking about different hip hop artists. I was talking about current artists, I was talking about artists back in the day. He was talking about current artists, but Snoop's piece was unbelievable. So get a chance when you can. I'll fire it over to you. I'll send you a text message on it. Jess, why don't you get things started, bud?
All right. So today, while looking at Twitter, there was an article that I came across from the Daily Meal, All Things Food and Drink, where they actually researched every state's favorite fast food during the coronavirus. So all 50 states are featured here, but there's only seven different restaurants. Two of them only got one vote. Popeyes in Louisiana, and a restaurant called Culver's in South Dakota. And the other five restaurants are Sonic, McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, Wendy's, and Taco Bell. So I'm going to go through these states. Those are your five choices. Figure out which restaurant.
Okay, real quick, before you go into it, Kirk, your favorite fast food restaurant, what's your go-to? Do you have one?
Favorite fast food restaurant?
I do remember last time it was off the air. I don't know why double dipping came into play, but you were talking about your kids, and if they got like nuggets or fries or something like that, they better get their own ketchup, because nobody's double dipping in yours.
Right. I would say as a family, wow, I would go with In-N-Out right now.
I literally
can walk away with the In-N-Out experience. And, you know, me
In-N-Out's
and my wife, the kids.
Oh, In-N-Out's ridiculous.
Well, it's crazy that we all have all our individual orders, though, and it's different.
Everybody has it down? Like, everybody's walking in with their own game plan?
Oh, man. Like, for me, I'm a five patties plain with grilled onions. My wife... Yeah,
that's so, a man but, that played in the league. That's but, what that but is
no,
right
no,
there.
It's just five patties though. I get no bread, no tomatoes, no lettuce. It's just I get five plain patties with grilled onions. So basically, think about it. If you go out to a barbecue grill, you see five patties with grilled onions. I put a little spread on them, and I'm good.
You got cheese on there?
Do I what?
Do you have cheese on there?
No cheese. No cheese either.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, my wife. She's double protein, no onions. Okay. My son, he's four patties, plain. Okay. Plain. So just patties. No meat. No bun, no cheese, no bread, no lettuce, tomato. He's just four patties with his ketchup. This is Mr. Ketchup, by the way.
I'm starving right now, by the way.
My daughter,
Mr. Ketchup.
She's double spread only. Okay. Double spread only. Okay. And then my youngest, he just loves fries. Okay. He's just a fry guy.
Everybody has a plan.
Individual order, but then you also got to remember, we're going to get some stickers from the drive-thru. We're going to get a couple of In-N-Out hats.
And then
don't let it be around fall heading into winter. We're going to get some hot chocolate. For people who didn't know, In-N-Out serves hot chocolate.
Is it underground? Like it's excellent and just not enough people know about it?
Well, not enough people know about it. It's like the secret menu at... what is that, Jamba Juice?
Okay.
You never know about the secret menu at Jamba Juice?
Oh, yeah. Come on, man. You don't know about the secret menu?
Alan, come on, man. You ain't living, brother. See, hanging around me, I'm going to put you on a lot of game, brother. I'm going to put you on a lot of game.
What am I missing from Jamba Juice? What am I missing?
Man, you got some. Man, you got, you can go Skittles. You can go, like, the different flavors that you can have in terms of a Jamba Juice. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Undercover
menu. So they got you know, they're running a black market scheme at Jamba Juice with flavors.
Dude, man, even In-N-Out has a secret menu.
Well, I know that.
In-N-Out has a secret menu. Yeah, I've been on that one before. I may dibby into a Flying Dutchman from time to time with grilled onions. Two patties.
Bronny, what's your go-to fast food?
Oh, well, now it's because of where I live. It's like Wendy's because it's right there.
Mm.
Wendy's isn't bad.
Wendy's is sneaky good, but
sneaky.
Yeah, but growing up in Inglewood, man, Rally's was the place because I lived off of West Central,
Rally's.
Where that Rally's was right there by the Forum and by Hollywood Park.
Bronny, let me tell you. Let me tell you something about Rally's. One of the most underrated fries in the game. Out of all the different, you know, fries that are out there, everybody talks about In-N-Out, McDonald's. It's actually, Sedano was doing this, I don't know, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, they were talking about fries. And I was trying to mention them. I'm like, listen, Rally's has fantastic fries.
Sneaky,
so that's a good one out of nowhere. Jess, what's your go-to fast food?
Oh no, it's In-N-Out without a doubt. Yes, it's In-N-Out.
I have
my own order. I get the regular hamburger with ketchup instead and grilled onions, and then my girlfriend gets a double-double with animal style fries, and we both get Neapolitan.
I'm going In-N-Out tomorrow.
Neapolitan.
I'm going In-N-Out tomorrow.
The Neapolitan shake. There we go.
That's where it's at. That's my
okay,
favorite.
So do your Jess, set this up. You were setting it up, and I had to get everybody's take on fast food.
He got us hungry and distracted. Yes,
starving right now. So there's five different. You said Chick-fil-A. What were the other ones?
So Chick-fil-A, Sonic, McDonald's, Wendy's, and Taco Bell. Across the other the rest of the 48 states, these are the top five restaurants. So let's see. I'm gonna go across the states, across the country, and see if you guys can figure out which one of those five. Matches the state.
So In-N-Out is not part of
In-N-Out.
That's because it's not in every state. It's only
not in every state.
It's starting to show up on the East Coast now, but it's mainly a West Coast kind of mountainous region.
But
sort
even
of
in,
what did you
even
think,
in
what
California,
did you think it would dominate California?
Maybe it kind of dominates the regionally, like Southern California.
Wait,
like
Kirk. There was In-N-Out up in the Bay, wasn't there? Or no?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's starting to trickle down, but it wasn't heavy in the Bay like it is now, right? I think In-N-Out is now starting to become a staple of California, especially for people who come visit. Like, man, I got to go try one of these In-N-Out burgers. I'm like, oh, there you go.
Okay, so throw out some states for us, Jess.
All right, so starting with California, what do you think of those five restaurants that Californians went to during the COVID coronavirus pandemic?
I think I got mine.
Quarantine.
Unfortunately, I think it's Taco Bell.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Unfortunately.
I'm gonna go McDonald's. I'll go McDonald's.
I'm gonna go McDonald's because then when the Arches started in California,
it was. And you know what? It is McDonald's for California.
There you go.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I believe
never felt so good to be wrong.
The first McDonald's is like I'm not a museum, but. I think they're trying to recapture what it looks like or something I read before.
They should. Yeah. I mean, just think about its history. I mean, it's literally one of the staples to this country. Okay, right. give us another state.
There's a I don't know if it's on Netflix anymore, but there's a movie based on the whole creation of McDonald's starring Michael Keaton as Ray Cook, who's the founder of McDonald's. It's a great movie. It's called The Founder.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, so definitely check it out.
Oh, if you guys want to watch something, watch the McMillions documentary on HBO.
Oh, I saw that too.
I got to see that. I have not seen it. By the way, you guys remember that documentary? I forget what it's called. The guy that ate McDonald's for 30 straight days.
Supersize me.
Yeah,
Morgan Spurlock.
Yeah, there you go. Morgan, I remember Spurlock. That one.
Oh, my
all right.
Gosh.
So
I felt
let's
his
go.
Pain sometimes during those days. I'm like, bro, just stop eating it.
He can't. It was for the documentary. It's all for the doc. So going all the way across the country to Florida, where the NBA and MLS is set to return, where do you think Floridians go most during this?
So it's Wendy's, McDonald's,
Chick-fil-A, and Taco Bell.
I'm surprised Sizzler didn't win.
I think it's I'm going Chick-fil-A. They don't do Sonic like that. I think it's Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A.
I'll go Sonic.
All right. You should have gone with listen, it's Chick-fil-A. Most people in Florida go to Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, what's Fula?
Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A. Tomato, tomato.
No, Chick-fil-A. All right, give us another state.
All right, let's go to Mississippi.
Ooh. All right, Mississippi.
M-I-S-S-I-S-S-S.
I'll go.
Grade school, Jesse.
I was terrible at spelling. I'm pretty sure I spelled it wrong.
What I got?
You got on that one from Mississippi.
Mississippi?
I'll go Wendy's.
Yeah, I'm thinking Wendy's.
Yeah, it's
yeah. They still got the Confederate flag. I'm thinking of Wendy's with the.
Oh man,
I think
I
Wendy's,
can't pick Wendy's
with,
now
with the red pigtails. Yeah,
I love how you put all those pieces together to form Wendy's.
Yeah, hey, it's man. A big conspiracy theory. Yeah, Wendy's. Sure, why not?
Oh, all wrong. It's Sonic. Believe it or
that
not,
that makes sense. Mm.
Sonic.
Yeah.
Sonic the drive-through. Sonic's not drive-through. It's you drive up, order your food, and they bring it to you.
You park right there. Yeah, man.
It's like an old school, soda hop.
It's like Sadie Hawkins dance style, right?
Have I been to Sonic? I don't even know if I've been to Sonic.
Yeah, we've got a couple out here.
Yeah,
there's a few.
I've been to Sonic before. There's a couple in San Diego. One, we had a big donor at San Diego State when I went to school there. I would go partake in some Sonic.
You got to go there for their slushies.
Yeah, the
ice cream and slushies are good.
Yeah, slushies. Right. I'm a slushy slurpy guy, so yeah.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
All right, you got one more there, Jess?
Yes, last one. Let's go to Oregon, all the way up in the north. Oregon, Sonic, McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, Wendy's, or Taco Bell?
Starbucks.
No, that is
Nike.
Washington.
Nike. I'll go Chick-fil-A.
I'm going to go Taco Bell because that's the only one that hasn't gotten one yet.
Oh, look at you going with the stoner meal. I see you. I am going to go with McDonald's again.
No, bro, you should have gone with the stoner meal. Come on.
Oh, Taco Bell?
Come on, man. Come on.
Oh, I knew it. I knew it.
Come on, man. You know those boys down in Chalupas left and right?
Oh, man.
I haven't been to Taco Bell in years. It's been a minute.
I've heard their breakfast is actually really good, though.
I have had one of those breakfasts back in the day. It was pretty good.
All right, Kirk, why don't you go with your topic here for halftime?
Well, my topic was I was just looking at a video the other day, right? And it just came out. It was the safety, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix of the Dallas Cowboys. He was riding on one of those scooters. What are they, like the Lime scooter called?
Yeah, I saw that.
The Birds. Yep. Mm-hmm. And so he's riding, and all of a sudden, kind of at night, and he's passing by a driveway, I think in like a residential neighborhood, and all of a sudden he sees a bear.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Nope.
And a
like a real bear. So my question to you guys, do you guys even know what to do if you come across like a real live like grizzly bear? Like what do you do? Because they actually run at about, 35 miles per hour?
30 miles, yep. 30,
yeah, about 30 miles per hour. like what do you
they
do?
They climb trees, bro. They have knives on their hands.
Correct. Because I'm thinking like I have no idea like I would – I don't know if I would literally stop. I would try to run, but how do you get away from a bear? Or okay, do you kind of distract them? Like,
so this is technically, Kirk, what you're supposed to do, okay?
Technically, thank you. That's why I'm asking you. This is why asking the panel.
And this goes against every instinct in your body, okay? What he did, which was throw his scooter, whatever he was riding.
ditched the scooter. He was like,
and run
stopped.
The opposite way. And the bear was super confused. Like the bear's look was like, what is happening right now? The bear didn't know what to do and how to react. What you're supposed to do is you're actually supposed to stand your ground. So you're supposed to try and make yourself. This is literally what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to make yourself big. You're supposed to make as much noise as you possibly can. Right? Like this is the concept and the idea, because the moment you turn around and you start running, what happens to the bear? What do they think?
You trying to play.
Free meal.
They think you're prey.
Ooh.
They think that, you know, when a deer sees a bear, the deer is taken off, right? Anything that sees a bear takes off. And the moment you take off, they assume that you're prey. So if you don't, and you stand and you try and make as much noise as you can, I sound like I'm an expert from National Geographic, but I love camping. So anytime you go camping where there it's an area that, you know, is known to have bears, that's basically what you're supposed to do. Make as much noise as you can. Don't move. Try and literally kind of stand up to the bear, and then hopefully the bear says, all right, well, this dude is obviously not backing down. I'm going to get out of here.
Alan, good luck with that, Alan.
Yeah, I can't wait till someone on Twitter calls you out for, like,
hey, good luck with that, Alan.
Like, just putting out this urban myth that, yeah, you're supposed to just stand your ground and
literally
face off
with
the bear.
Literally, that's what you're supposed to
do. Good luck, Alan.
You know that Shannon Sharp meme?
Square up and start jabbing at the bear. I'm saying that literally you're supposed to stand your ground.
You know that Shannon Sharp meme where he's just shaking his head? Nope. Nope.
Yep, nope.
That's what I was doing the entire time we were talking.
I'm seriously waiting for Terry Tate, office linebacker, to come out and just deck me.
Nope.
Ain't no one going to stand up to a bear. I see a bear. I'm doing exactly what Clinton Dix did. Oh, hell no.
I'm bobbing and weaving.
Kurt, I'm with you. I'm with you. But that's what you're supposed to do. That's literally what you're supposed to do. By the way, don't all of you guys sound surprised? You guys all know that.
Oh yes, Alan. We know that when we see a bear.
Hey guys, this is the one thing that Alan actually knows. This is the one thing he knows.
You want to talk about camping? I'm in. That's
hey
what
brother,
I know you can.
I am never going camping with you.
I think I'm going this Saturday. By the way,
Hey Kirk, you available on Monday for Lakers talk?
Lakers talk with Kirk Morrison. Alan was in an accident this past weekend. He encountered a bear and tried to make himself big.
All he had to do was throw his scooter at the bear, and he would have been fine.
He became really small.
How funny is that, bro? Every instinct in your body is going to tell you something different. All right, I got one quick one here, and I do want to get to more Lakers stuff because there's things actually happening right now that's going on Twitter. Let's actually do this. We'll cut halftime now. Because I want to get into – Walsh put out a tweet of emerging leading candidate to replace Avery Bradley on the Lakers. So let's do that when we come back. Alan Sliwa, Kirk Morrison, stay right here. Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, a lot going on tonight. I mean, from the moment we started, Kirk, there's been news. Of course, the big news tonight was that Major League Baseball has figured out 60-game season. It will be the – What's going to make this season so interesting, too, is that you're going to have the Dodgers getting a chance to face not just, you know, the NL West, but also the AL West. So now all of a sudden, the Mariners, the Houston Astros, the Texas Rangers, the Oakland A's. So, you know, obviously some teams, the Angels, of course, that are within the division. And then the last 15 minutes or so, Walsh put out another tweet. So we know Avery Bradley's not coming to Orlando with the Los Angeles Lakers. And free agent guard J.R. Smith has emerged as a leading candidate to replace everybody on the Lakers roster. So a lot going on. J.R. Smith, you heard that name being thrown around a lot during the buyout market. Lakers eventually went with Deion Waiters. Looks like J.R. Smith still has an opportunity now to be with the Lakers.
It's happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening, Alan. It is happening. And when I say it's happening, it's J.R. Smith, right? There's a guy that, remember, during the season, the Lakers pretty much put it out that, hey, we won't be signing J.R. Smith, right? He won't be, joining LeBron James in the Lakers version of the championship they're trying to obtain. And now, because of Avery Bradley not being able to attend the Orlando AAU tournament, you got to go pick somebody else up, right? And J.R. Smith is a guy who knows LeBron James. And this is where I say this, Alan. And I hope people understand this. And I'm joking, half joking when I say AAU tournament. Because right now, guys are just, they're just picking up basketball players. Guys who could just play. Who can go get a bucket. Because there ain't no offense. Right, it ain't gonna be enough offense. The way that things are kind of moving right now, you'll have some. I think recollection of what you did during the regular season, but I don't know how much you can put back into and getting to the flow that a lot of these teams had, right? I remember talking with you, Alan, just about that weekend, right? The magical weekend the Lakers had when they beat Milwaukee that Friday night.
Took care of the Bucks, took care of the Clippers.
And Clippers on Sunday. And that's where the Lakers were at their peak. And then all of a sudden they lost to the Nets and then COVID hit, right? They lost two games in a week, right? They lost to the Nets and then COVID. It was like back to back, like boom, boom. And it was the hiatus happened. But now you're seeing NBA players just grabbing guys right now that can just get you a bucket, that can come in and be almost positionless, but can come in and just that don't need a lot of reteaching, right? Just get in and play your style. Go do what you got to do. And a guy like J.R. Smith can come in and get you a bucket. He can shoot you in a game, and he can most definitely shoot you out of a game. But the trust that LeBron has to have in him for them to sign, I believe is going to be there. It is going to be there because at the end of the day, look, hey, he's got some gaffes that I definitely probably wish he probably had back. But at the end of the day, like, he's a guy that I think LeBron trusts. And that's what's going to happen when he gets down to Orlando, is that you need guys that you can trust that can go out there and get your own bucket, because there is going to be times where I call it an AAU tournament. Pick your best five. I got my best five. And we're going to go out and play some hoops, because it ain't going to be no fans out there. It is going to be, we about to hoop. We about to go down to Venice Beach on a Sunday and let's just go after it, right? Your best five, my best five, let's go. And that's what you're seeing right now, because we start talking about names, right? Darren Collison is another name that's starting to circulate. We talked about Jamal Crawford. There are certain names now that the Lakers are starting to look at because they may need another playmaker in that rotation, because you lose Avery Bradley. That's a guy who was – you talk about it, the second half of the season, like when it turned January 1, 2020 – he was a different player for the Lakers, and that's going to be a key guy that it's going to be hard to replace.
And he got healthy too. Look, I'll say this. It's not right now. This is going to be kind of a rush for the entire NBA. You also want to kind of stock up and make sure you have players. Like you mentioned, look, J.R. Smith, you don't have to teach him what it's like to play big playoff games. He's been there. He's done that. J.R. Smith won a championship with LeBron. Granted, J.R. Smith is also known for that, you know, grabbing the rebound, not knowing, thinking that the team was up one when actually the game was tied, you know, obviously in game one of the finals a couple years back. But J.R. Smith has had a nice career. It's not a bad pickup for the Lakers. But if you asked me, hey, Al, would you rather have J.R. Smith or Avery Bradley? It's not even a question or a hesitation.
Correct.
Not having Avery Bradley on this team is it's going to hurt the Lakers. And it's J.R. Smith is known for getting buckets, like you mentioned, right? J.R. Smith is known. That's his specialty.
That's his thing, right?
Lakers, there was a need for Avery Bradley, right? Avery Bradley guarding Damian Lillard for 30 minutes a game, or guarding some of these, you know, unbelievable guards around the NBA, Ja Morant. I mean, I could go down the list of all these great guards that we have in the league. That's what he was capable of doing. Now that load is going to go on the KCPs of the world, the Alex Carusos of the world. So it's going to be an interesting, I would say, week. By the time we get to July 1st, we're going to know what players are dropping out, what players are staying. And then after that, we're also going to find out, you know, obviously how many players test positive for COVID-19, how long it's going to take for them to get back on the court. So, Kirk, every day is going to be different for the league, and tonight is kind of the start of this unique – actually, yesterday was the start of this unique couple weeks that we're all curious to see how it plays out.
Yeah, it is. It's very unique, but it's also eye-opening now, all right? And you don't want to rush, right? You don't want to do something that you possibly regret, right, Alan? And just doing things for the sake of doing things, right? So right now, Avery Bradley – says, look, I'm not going to Orlando. Now, the one thing is you don't want to do what? Panic buy, right? We remember a couple months ago, everybody did what? Bought up all the toilet paper. Remember that? That was a panic buy. Mm-hmm. You were probably one of the ones that took all the toilet paper from Costco. I couldn't even get none, Alan.
Man, right? I was good with
selfish.
I was good with
selfish.
with going to Sprouts getting the four pack I was good to go. Everybody else going, they're stockpiling like they were. The worst part is people were buying it and then selling it after that.
Exactly.
Like,
but it was a panic buy because everybody was like, oh, we got to get some before they're all gone. Mm-hmm. That's what I would say. Rob Pelinka, right? Relax a little bit. Take a deep breath. All right. Sit back.
They must
Frank
have known.
Vogel.
I think they
back,
probably
relax.
Must have known and this was a, you know, this was a, okay, we know this is going to happen, and we right. know we have J.R. Smith there if we need him.
But your rotation's changed too now, okay? This isn't just, hey, we can bring in J.R. Smith. I mean,
you lost a starter.
You lost a starter, man. Your rotations are going to be a little bit different. And you lost a guy that when he gets hot, I mean, they don't beat the Clippers without him that night, right? I mean, it was Avery Bradley that just balled out. We're like, what? Where'd this come from? But without him, you don't beat the Clippers that day, right? And so now I'm saying that how will the rotations now be if you do bring in the J.R. Smith? We talked about it just a little bit. Who's starting? Who benefits most from this? Or is there a guy that can kind of replace and get those minutes? I don't know, because he played such a vital part, and we saw the role that he had carved for himself as a starter and a guy that you can count on down the stretch. We saw that happening in the beginning of March, and you knew what it was going to look like come playoff time. This is a huge loss for the Lakers, and yet I don't want them to panic buy. I don't want them to go run out and grab all the toilet tissue. Just relax a little bit.
You think J.R. Smith was a panic?
I think it's a panic because, oh, go grab J.R. Smith. Is that really what you need? Because now we're talking about what Avery Bradley was most known for. When I think of Avery Bradley, I don't want to talk about offense.
No, as a defender.
As a defender.
He's going to go guard. He's going to go guard the
right?
main guard from the opposing team, Damian Lillard. CJ McCollum, it doesn't matter. Whoever's out on the floor that is around his size, that's who he's going to
right.
go guard.
And the thing about it is, I've never questioned Avery Bradley's what? Effort. I've never questioned his effort. But with J.R. Smith, sometimes his effort can be a little bit off by some of his antics where he loses his lapse in judgment, I should say. That's a better way of saying it. Sometimes he has lapses in judgment, and he can miss a defensive assignment right early on. Because remember, he's coming in right now in the last part of the season. He hasn't been there the entire year. So that's a key role that he is now supposed to fill. That's going to be tough, right?
Well, I don't think him coming on the Lakers is going to be this. They're not going to be depending on J.R. Smith. Like the Lakers are, they are in a position where this is all luxury, not a necessity, right? Like they know that with or without Avery Bradley, they still got a chance of winning. You know, obviously a great chance of winning an NBA championship because of LeBron and Anthony Davis and the way the Lakers have kind of, you know, obviously worked together. But I think it does, no question about it, hurt them that he's not there. Joe Varden is pointing this out on Twitter. J.R. Smith's last NBA game was in November of 2018 for the Cavaliers in Detroit, almost two full seasons. And he goes on and says, what an amazing turn for him to join the Lakers. Look, we'll see how it plays out. But I don't know if I think it was a panic. I think the Lakers do have, because of KCP, because of Alex Caruso, because of, I think, just a number of players they have that can play that position. A lot of times LeBron is playing the one. Lakers can still go small. Like I think they'll be fine, but it's definitely a loss. And, you know, we'll obviously keep everybody posted on what ends up happening with J.R. Smith. Take a quick break here. One thing I want to get into a little bit earlier, Kirk, that we'll do when we come back. DeMarcus Cousins' name was thrown around a couple different times tonight, or I'm sorry, this morning. Right. And I do want to chat about DeMarcus for a second, because it was a conversation that we had a little bit earlier. If you were a player, would you take a risk right now of coming back? And we think that over the next couple of days, there might be players that decide to bow out. But DeMarcus Cousins under a completely different predicament situation. Let's talk about DeMarcus Cousins when we come back. Alan Sliwa, Kirk Morrison. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, Woj doing what Woj does. Drops a couple bombs tonight. Avery Bradley won't be with the Lakers for this Orlando bubble, and there's signs pointing that J.R. Smith would replace him on the Lakers roster. So we'll keep you guys posted if we get anything else on that front. So I don't know if you saw this this morning, Kirk Morrison joining the Sliwa show. So what do you think DeMarcus Cousins should do? And let me kind of play out. There were a couple tweets that were sent out this morning, and I want to get your opinion on this. And I think everybody obviously has their own opinion, their own thoughts, but let me set this up. Sham Sharania from The Athletic reported that Cousins would forego signing with a team and continue rehabbing. All right. August will be 1 year since he tore his ACL. Then Tanya Ganguly, who was told by DeMarcus Cousins, his agent, Jeff Schwartz, that Cousins has not ruled out signing with the team, so it's still kind of up in the air. Let me play this for you, okay? So I'm a fan of DeMarcus Cousins. I actually feel right. incredibly, incredibly bad for him. Just what's happened. The last 2.5 years, he tore his left Achilles tendon, tore his left quadricep, then you know, he had the tear in his ACL this last summer. So he's had three major injuries. And there's no saying that, you know, he's even healthy enough to go right now, even though I think I saw something that John Wall put out. But if you're DeMarcus Cousins, are you taking a chance? I mean, are you trying to get on a roster, trying to compete for an NBA championship and, you know, going to spend this training camp 2+ months and so forth? Or are you saying, I have pretty much shot every opportunity for a big contract, not his fault, over the last couple of years, that I'm just going to take my time, take my chances come December or whenever the season restarts and decide I'm not taking any more chances? We saw David Bertrand's yesterday from the Washington Wizards decided he had two ACL tears over, you know, the course of years, decided I'm going to wait, try and make my money next year. Would you try to come back now, or would you wait until the next season comes around?
I'm going to wait till the next season comes around. And remember, Boogie Cousins was a part of the team who I grew up watching, Golden State Warriors, mm-hmm. last year. Mm-hmm. Okay, he saw two of the prime players come back a little too early, right? Whether number one being Kevin Durant, right? In a series in which the finals, right? Came back from the calf injury, which ultimately ended his season with a ruptured Achilles a little bit later. And obviously Kevin Durant won't be playing the rest of this season with the Brooklyn Nets, but we saw a year of Kevin Durant having to rehab and he won't be back. He's watched Klay Thompson, another one of his former teammates of a year ago when he's with the Warriors, decide not to come back. Now, it was different because the Warriors didn't make the 22-team AAU tournament in Orlando. So it's a little bit different for Klay Thompson, but he had already said he wasn't going to come back and return. I think Boogie Cousins, in his mind, DeMarcus Cousins, knew that, hey, I'm not coming back. I'm going to rehab. I got to get myself right. And me coming back for this short little run is not going to help me come when the season rolls right back around a couple months later. I'm just going to stay here. But what his agent, Jeff Schwartz, is saying, no. He wants to, he hasn't ruled anything out. Yeah, because he's trying to sign a deal. He wants to get a nice little deal right now that he may be one of the best skilled big men who's out right now. Mm-hmm. Right. We just saw today that Nikolai Jokic, right, the Joker, mm-hmm. What happened? He tested positive for COVID-19. Mm-hmm. We still don't know, right? And then on top of that, he is not eligible to travel to Denver. He is still out of the country. Just say, hey, what may happen with that? We don't know. And all of a sudden, I'm a team. I feel like I've got a chance. I may sign DeMarcus Cousins to a multi-year deal because I need somebody to be replaced. Don't throw that offer off the board if you can get a multi-year deal. That's what Jeff Schwartz is saying. Hold on, Boogie. Don't speak. I'll do the speaking for you. I may get you a parlay this into a multi-year deal. You don't have to worry about being a free agent when this season's over with, so that if you do play, something happens, you do have something to fall back on.
Also for DeMarcus, like just for him, right? Like, don't you want to see him just play it safe? Like, you know, it's different if there's an athlete out there that's trying – you know, they don't have 5-7 more years left in the NBA. They're on their, you know, their final contract. They right. need to prove something. Like, it's different for certain players that are available right there or available right now. DeMarcus Cousins at one point was one of the best players in the NBA. You know what I mean? Like, that's not – we're not too far removed from when he was either dominating with the Sacramento Kings or having one of his best years with the Pelicans when it was him and Anthony Davis before he had that injury. So I feel for DeMarcus. I want to see him get another legit opportunity. I want nothing more than for him to have, you know, a few more years left in the NBA and get a contract that he should have got. Or if it's not that contract, a max deal, I think those days are long, long behind him at this point. But maybe he can get something that just replicates what he used to be, and hopefully he still has some percentage of that left. I'd hate to see. It would be nothing worse than to see, you know, DeMarcus Cousins try to come back, or he came back too quick. So I'm with you on that. I do kind of hope that these next – he waits another 4 or 5 months, and then the right opportunity comes, and he'll get that chance in the offseason, which is going to be a quick offseason. You already mentioned that, right? I mean,
yes.
Their plan quick. Is to come back in, you know, December, which means – they'll probably start training a camp again in November.
Yeah, it's coming right back. It's going to roll right back around. So mm-hmm. a lot that, and that's what I keep trying to say. You love the opportunity of the NBA coming back, but there are certain players looking at their opportunity to be with their families. Do they want to be away for 2.5 months away, and then when the season ends, you get a month off in November, and then turn right back around and start a season in December? Oh man, it's wishful thinking.
I'm not definitely. I'm not a fan right now of those who are on Twitter that don't like Avery Bradley not coming back for personal reasons. Don't like that, and that's happening right now. And I know it's going to happen. I mean,
but that's real fan reaction, though. That's raw. That's how the fans feel. It's you're hurting me.
Different.
You're hurting me. Yeah, mm-hmm. The fans don't get it. Right, the fans are thinking first, me. Why are you doing this to me? Because if this was a guy on any other team, not the Lakers, we could care less, right? But this is the Lakers, so it does. It affects us all because it's one piece of the Lakers, and people realize it's a fairly important piece.
I had a fan call yesterday, Kirk, that said that basically said if the Lakers weren't sitting where they're sitting, then technically. Myself and, you know, a lot of Laker fans out there wouldn't be pushing for the NBA to come back. Like if Lakers were in 14th place, or right. Let's use the Warriors as an example, right? Warriors, here they are. They're out. They're out of the eight teams that are not invited, that they don't care as much to have the season come back. I still feel like there's a lot of fans, whether your team is in it or they're not, you still want to see the NBA come back. So I don't know. I don't know how much I put into that when fans think, well, it's just because my team's got a shot. No, I think there's also this part of sports. You want to see sports come back in general.
Yeah, that is part of it. But it just hits different when it's your team. Always. It just hits you a little bit different when it's your team, right? You can watch – I've seen other teams. You're like, oh, man, that sucks for them, right? Mm-hmm. No, not for me. Right, this one hurts a little bit more because obviously for Laker fans, everyone saw the kind of piece that he was going to be, a dependable piece to the Lakers and their quest for a championship. Now that piece is gone, and now you're going to have another guy step up into that role. Look, it can still happen, but man, you talk about you already had a solidified piece that was going to give you both sides of the floor, right? It was going to give you offense if you needed it, but defensively can guard some of the better players in the Western Conference.
All right. Final thoughts when we come back. I also want to spend some time. Baseball is back. What it looks like for those who are just tuning in right now, 60 games, which is about 37% of the regular season. So 162 game season. Typically this time it's just going to be 60 games, but training camps look like they're going to begin on July 1st. Couple of things as well that we can hit on from a baseball front. Kirk and I will get into what this all means for the Dodgers. There was a good conversation that Mason Ireland had a little bit earlier today. Is it more difficult to win a 162-game set if you're the Dodgers or to win a 60-game set? And obviously that changes the sample size significantly. So we'll talk a little bit about that when we come back. Plus, if you're a Laker fan out there, you're driving, listening on the app, and you got some thoughts about Avery Bradley no longer being a part of this Orlando bubble, and it's looking like J.R. Smith is a leading candidate to be a part of it. You can feel free to call in 877-710-ESPN. You're listening to the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, 710 ESPN wants to salute all of our frontline workers as part of our Thank You Thursdays presented by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. If you know someone who is working as a healthcare provider, firefighter, EMS worker, or a food service professional, nominate him or her today. Here's how you do it. Email the station, ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com, with your first and last name, city, and occupation. Or post a short video on Instagram or Twitter and include the hashtag 710 Thank You Thursdays. Every Thursday, we'll interview a frontline worker and award them a $500 thank you gift to include a $200 service to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, $100 gift card to Wingstop, VSLiquor.com, and Shooteria.com. So just to circle back around today for sports, you know, Kirk, if you know, we've had over 100 days now without sports. So just the ups and downs of doing the show, right? One day you have news where, man, you feel good. Okay, you know what? Maybe we're making some progress on sports. And then there's other days, Kirk, I've sat here in front of the microphone, and I'm like, I don't think we're going to get sports back, at least for today.
Right.
Let's just say for one day, right? You feel good about baseball, figuring it out. There's at least, you know, obviously a return that we know is going to be starting on July 1st. There'll be 60 games, implementation of the DH in both leagues. The extra innings, I think, is a little interesting. They'll start with a runner on second base. It's a little gimmicky, but I understand why they're doing it. We got actually a chance to talk about baseball today for the right reasons than some of the wrong reasons.
Yeah. I mean, you just, you know, baseball is going to be the first, right? They're going to be the first to start the season in terms of the major sports in North America or in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And I think we're kind of, you know, for them, it's been long overdue because we've seen the bickering, the fighting. They didn't handle it as well as the NBA did, right? The NBA, they knew what it was about. They figured it out. They agreed upon it, and they knew how to handle it, and they have a protocol in place. Baseball, it took some time because we're talking about salaries, some big salaries. You know, we talked a little bit earlier with Pedro Moro just about, you know, the minor leagues and how is baseball just going to be treated, and this is really about the major leagues. That's mm-hmm. what it's all about. We're just going to see a major league baseball season with 60 games. And Alan, at first I was kind of hard to wrap my mind around it. Like 60 mm-hmm. games. I mean, it's just a
celebrated small sample
season,
size,
right? Mm-hmm. It's like when you played video games back in the day, remembering you had the chance to, you want 60, 162, or I think it was like maybe a middle season. And I'm like, nah, let me get that quick 60 game so mm-hmm. I can get to the playoffs. That's what I feel like this is, but it does take on a different, for me, a different meaning now. 60 games tells me everything is going to be to the forefront now, right? It's a sense of urgency that I've never seen before in Major League Baseball that has now grasped my attention, right? Because if you lose a couple games, Alan, man, you could be out of it. You go on a five-game losing streak, man, your season could be over with. You go on a five-game winning streak, and I'm like, man, you're setting yourself up to get to the playoffs. I'm excited about that aspect of it. But like I said, I don't want to get my hopes up too much and be left at the altar again, right? Baseball has done that to me over the past couple weeks, couple months. And I'm saying that with the pandemic and the coronavirus, sure.
And,
COVID-19.
And this won't be in their hands.
Yes.
Right? Like, if that happens, that's not going to be – this won't be baseball's fault. This is just
correct.
Something that the entire world is, you know, obviously going through. But, Kirk, I want to hit on something you said, how exciting you think these 60 games are, right? Like,
correct.
It's going to be – every game is going to be important. That is dangerous for the Dodgers. Now, Dodgers are stacked. There's no question about it. But it is dangerous in the sense – Bob Nightingale, USA Today, had a great article, and he talked about how, just to give this as an example, the Pittsburgh Pirates last season were a game and a half back of the St. Louis Cardinals in the division at the All-Star break, right?
Yes.
They ended up 22 games back when the season ended.
Yeah.
We know, I don't need to tell you about the Washington Nationals and them starting 19-31 through
yes.
50 games. They come back and they win the World Series. There's a couple more examples that he had on there. I think the Rockies, who, you know, were well behind the Dodgers when the division ended, there was a stretch of 60 games where they were maybe 13, 14 games over 500, something along those lines, right?
Right.
So because that sample size is so shrinked, that's dangerous for the Dodgers. And this is going to be one of the things that we don't know that nobody's going to have control over is COVID-19 could determine who wins the World Series or who wins the NBA championship. That can happen. And I, when I say that, of course, I don't want that to happen, but I don't think it's out of the norm to think that there are going to be players that test positive and that are out in critical junctures of the season. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when and how many players.
Yeah, and you just hope it's not too many. You just hope that this you hope that the protocols that are in place are enough, right? I was just reading that, you know, each player is going to have to go through a course on COVID-19 or what to do, brochures, videos, pamphlets. They're going to get all the information that they need, and hopefully it helps them, and hopefully they can get this season started, right? And I kind of want to go back to what you asked me earlier. I don't believe this is selfish at all, because this actually is some people's jobs. People are like, oh, we don't need sports. Well, sports are how a couple, how, you know, some people make a living, right? And so I don't want to take their right away of making a wage, because their way to work also entertains some people who need a little bit of entertainment right now with so much going on in our country.
Yeah, you know what, Kirk, and it's, you know, listen, we could talk selfish too. Obviously, what we do on a day-to-day basis, it's around sports. And we've sat here, and I know you've done it as well. You're hoping for a football season. That is part of your occupation. That's how you feed your family and everything else. We want safety to be first for everyone. But I agree with you. At the end of the day, you know, fans that are out there that are rooting for sports to come back, and one of the hurdles, which is not the biggest hurdle, has been jumped, has been passed by the NBA and Major League Baseball. But the real hurdle is ahead of both of these leagues, right? The real hurdle is going to be when they try to get everybody on the same court again or the same field again and see if they can make it happen. That, listen, that's a major question mark. That's going to continue to be a major question mark, but this is going to be a part of the entire mix. Kirk, appreciate it, buddy. So we got this again tomorrow.
Let's do this again tomorrow, brother.
6:30 to 9. And Kirk, this is what I got to ask you for tomorrow. I want you to be ready for this. Yes. I need you to help explain to me how they're going to have an NFL football season this year. So let's do that tomorrow, all right?
We got it, brother.
All right, that's Kirk Morrison right there. Thank you to Adam Brodstein. Thank you to Jesse Lopez. LA, as always, greatly appreciate you tuning in. Hope you guys all have a great rest of your night.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.